Number six, Genesis chapter number six. As most of you know, we've been going through a series in the book of Genesis, and we're going to continue all in that series, but we're also going to be speaking and preaching a Father's Day message, Noah, a successful father. Noah, a successful father. If you're going to go make a list of fathers in the Bible and say, well, these were successful or these were great fathers, you might put Abraham on that list. Some might put Solomon on that list to say because he wrote all those great proverbs. Some might think that Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, on that list. And there's different people you might put, but probably most people would not put Noah on there. And here I think this morning we're going to look at some of the reasons why I believe Noah was a successful father. You say, Pastor, he built an ark, and that was good. But yes, the thing that I want to try to impress upon our hearts today is that in a very, very wicked day and time that he lived in, that he had three boys that were adults because they were married that went in the ark with him. Now, see, in a day and time we live in, many times what is happening to many churches that the young people, and as they become younger adults, they're leaving churches today, and sometimes it's because they have not seen a good example from their father and their mother. And the story today is the idea here, Noah's sons were willing to follow him in the ark despite the fact that nobody else was going, despite the fact that the world thought he was crazy, despite the fact the world thought he was foolish. He had lived a Christian life in such a way and walked with God for so many years. His sons saw that he was real in his beliefs and that what he believed was true, and he, by faith, built this ark, and these boys were willing to get on the ark with them. So this morning, as we look at this, Noah, a successful father, I'd like to think for a second, what does truly describe success? What truly is success in the day and time we live in? Now, some people think success is having a great amount of money. Some people think it's having some form of power or maybe prestige. Some people believe it's based off the friendships you have. But the Bible measures success in a different way. So how does the Bible measure success? Well, there's a couple things I like to think about. Number one, when you look at back at your life, whether it be at the end of a week, at the end of the month, or at the end of year, or maybe all the way at the end of your life, ask yourself this question. Did I do God's will with my life? Did I do what God put me here to do? Now, we might have ups, we might have downs, but in my life, have I done what God put me here to do? Because that's what true success is. I mean, some people might say it's money. Some people might say it's friends. Some people might say it's power. Some people might say it's possessions. But in all reality, if God has created us, which we learned back in our stewarding life campaign, if God's created us and it's a gift that God's given us and we're here to glorify God and that our bodies are not our own, we've been bought with a price, if we're Christians and we're believers and that we're here to glorify God with our body and our heart and our soul, then here's the question is, have I done what God wanted me to do with my life? And secondary thought behind that is, not only that, it's, did I influence people for God in my life? Now, and that's part of God's will, is that we influence others to have people walk after God because we walked after God. Abraham Lincoln put it this way, I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everybody. And here what Abraham Lincoln was saying something that I think was true about Noah is he maybe didn't know what all the success was about, but he knew the key to it was to do what God wanted him to do. In that day and time, there was many people who did not want him to build the ark, that told him he was foolish for building the ark. He didn't care what everyone else thought. You know what he cared about? He cared about pleasing God. And in our lives today, I think can look at this and say, Noah was a success because he did the will of God. And because he did the will of God, he saved his family. To me, that's a success story. His family was on the ark. His sons and his wives' families were on the ark. You say, Pastor, what's such a great success about that? Think for a second. All the fathers, all the children who died in the flood. I know last week I threw out a number, I think it was either 6 billion or 7 billion that died in the flood, and that was based off an equation off of what a conservative number of how many children at the different generations of how many years they had, and I know that's just a guess. It was just an estimate. I had a guy come to me afterwards and said, Pastor, if that many people died in the flood. You can use number 1, 2, 3, 4, however many millions or billions of people died in the flood. And only he and his family were saved. Boy, he must have thought that he must have been pretty frustrated. He must have maybe even been a failure. But you think about it, all the fathers that died in the flood, whose children might have followed them on the ark and been saved. To me, those are the ones that failed. The one that was successful was the one who was willing to do God's will, and his children were willing to follow him on the ark. Now, you might say, he didn't want anybody else. He didn't get anybody else to go on the ark. Well, what true success is doing God's will and influencing those that you can have influence over. Now, we don't always have influence over people. There are people that I cannot reach that maybe you can reach because you know them and you have a personal relationship with them. There's maybe a different age group that I can't reach that maybe you can because you're part of that age group, whether it be young or old. Maybe there are certain different groups of people who would never listen to me, but may listen to you because you're part of that group. And here's the idea is, are we influencing the people that we could influence? When you think of Noah, people always remember building the ark, and sometimes people remember, Pastor, remember after the ark landed, you remember Noah got drunk. Noah wasn't perfect. No, he wasn't perfect. And we know what happened with Canaan and Ham, and we know there's different things that would discredit his success, but what I like to focus in on today is he was successful because of the fact his children were able to follow him in the ark. We look at Noah and say, yeah, Pastor, that's because he was Noah. It was a lot easier for him. Well, if we remember last week's message, that we are living in the days and times as Noah. And we talked about last week how there was a time of extreme wickedness and a time of extreme violence, and how even though he raised his family during this time, everyone else ignored him. But his family was willing to follow him on the backdrop of impending judgment. Now, sometimes our kids think that we're crazy already. But if you go and say, hey, look, water's going to fall from the sky that's never fallen from the sky before, they're going to look at you and say that you're really out of date and that you're really crazy and that they don't have anything to do with you. But Noah, for some reason, despite all these obstacles, had his children following the ark. Let's look here in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to start at verse number 5. Noah raised his family during an exceedingly difficult time. What does this teach us? That in reality, we're living in a day and time where it's extremely difficult to reach people for Christ. But we can, whether it be fathers or mothers or even brothers or sisters, influence people for Jesus Christ. Let's look here in Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 5. The Bible says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And the Lord looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower and second and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, 2 of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of creeping thing and of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it up to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. And thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Let's look in chapter 7, verses 5 through 7 real quick. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and here's the point, and his sons, and his wife, and his son's wife with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer today. Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity to be able to come to your house. Lord, help us to see whether we be a father or not a father today, that we have influence. And Lord, that we would use our influence and that we would be sincere in our Christian walk, that the world may see it and be willing to follow after the truths that we live our lives by. As we walk by God, that people that come behind us will find that we've been faithful and will see the point of walking after God and seeing the results in their life. Lord, speak to people's hearts this morning. If there's someone here, Lord, that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, we pray they come to a saving knowledge of you through the preaching and teaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Bible speaks much about fathers, but one of the great things that talks about fathers, I know it tells you to provide, and I know it tells you to teach and train, but the relationship you have with God is something you should pass down to the future generations. Listen to the verses in Psalm 78. It says, which we have heard and known of, and our fathers have told us. As Psalm 78, the psalmist was saying, look, we've heard this, we've known this, because our fathers have taught us this. Psalm 78, verse number 4, it says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of God and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. He's saying, look, what we need to show to the generation to come is the praises of the Lord. We need to show him his strength. We need to show him the wonderful works that he's done. Verse number 6 in that scripture says that the generation to come might know them, even the generation which should be born, who should arise and declare to their children that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. What the Bible is saying here, that in the book of Psalms, they were encouraging the fathers to teach their children to put their hope in God. Sometimes men teach their children to put their hope in their own hands, hope in their bank accounts, hope in their talents. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but our hope must be first and foremost in God. And where will the next generation see that? Is when we faithfully put our hope and trust in God. There's three things I'd like for you to look at this morning. Three things about Noah that makes him a successful father. Number one, Noah was a saved man. Noah was a saved man. That meant Noah had put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Noah had put his faith and trust in God. Look what it says in chapter number 6, and look what it says in verse number 8. It says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. There's two words there I want you to show that I believe he was in right favor of God. Number one is the word grace you see in verse number 8. It says, grace. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace is the unmerited love and favor of God towards us and towards sinners. Grace is what shows us that we're sinners, and he provides for us, God does, a way to have faith in his son, Jesus Christ. You see this word just that's found in verse number 9. Noah was a just man. This refers to our standing before God. We are justified by God, what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Once we are saved, if we are saved, we are saved because what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let's just put it this way. If you're going to heaven today, it's about nothing about what you've done. It's not your works of righteousness. The Bible even says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's talking about it is the grace. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Noah was right with God, and Noah stood before God as a just man because he had put his faith and trust in God. And this morning, if you want to be a successful father, if you want to be successful anything, it begins with this, putting your faith and trust in what God has provided as a plan of salvation. And that's through Jesus Christ. Noah was successful because Noah had his faith in the right spot. This morning, are you a Christian? This morning, have you put your faith and trust in God? See, we are all sinners. The Bible teaches us that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible teaches us that there is a wage to our sin, and that we will die with, if we die without God, we will end up in a horrible place called hell. And no matter how successful we're here in this world, if we die and go to a horrible place called hell, we're a very, very unsuccessful person. You think about what it talked about Judas that night, what he betrayed. He said, "Woe unto that man that betrayeth the Son of God. It would be better for him if he had never been born." That's not a perfect quote, but the verse speaks of that. He's saying that, and Judas was a man who had lived and walked with Jesus for 3 years and helped people for those 3 years over and over and over. But the Bible says it would have been better for that man if he had never been born, if he would live and die without God, without Christ, and perish and spend all of eternity in hell. It'd be better for him to never, ever been born. True success is not measured on what we do here in this world, but it's measured on what is done for after we leave this world. What type of investment have we put into God and into heaven? This morning, Noah was a successful man because he was a saved man. He was a successful father because he was a saved man. And this morning, you will never, ever be able to be the father that you should be unless you are right with God. See, as a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit of God that lives within us. He leads us. He directs us. He teaches us those things we need to know so we can pass them on for future generations. And this morning, if you do not know God, you'll never, ever be the successful father God intends and wants you to be. Now, I'm talking about fathers, but obviously this applies to all, whether old or young. We'll never, ever be able to be the influence that God wants us to be unless we are standing in the right relationship with God. All he simply does, the Bible says, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that you can be saved. Listen to what Romans 10:9-10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This morning, are you right with God? If you die today, do you know for sure beyond the shadow of a doubt that you would go to heaven? We believe that Bible teaches you that you can know that. And today we want to give you the opportunity to know that. Second thing, you know what? You can be a Christian and still not be a successful father. Did you know that? Unfortunately, the Bible tells us some great fathers, and the Bible tells us of some not so great fathers. And I know Father's Day is a hard day for some people because sometimes people do not maybe have the greatest memories of their dads. I have some good memories of my father. My father has taught me a lot of things about character, taught me a lot of things about discipline. And part of me today is because of what my father has taught me. And I also have other men in my life that had filled in spots and voids where maybe my father didn't come and teach me certain things that have helped me come along my way and helped me be that way. But some people did not have the greatest father. Some didn't even have fathers around. Some, unfortunately, had fathers that did not treat them the right ways. And because of that, this is a hard day, but I want us to understand that this morning, Noah was a successful father, number one, because he was saved, but secondly, because he was separated. Separated, what do you mean by that? It means that he was living his life to please God. Now, that word separation in some churches today is a word that's scoffed at. But the Bible says it's a biblical word. It says, Jesus says himself, "Wherefore come out from among them and be you separated, separate, saith the Lord." Now you say, what do you mean by separate? It means that we're living our lives not for God, not for the world, but we're living it for God. Some people make this big deal that, hey, I'm separated from the world. I'm separated from this. I don't do this. I don't do that. That's not Christian living at all. What separation means is that we're separated unto God. That means we're living for God. That as we live for God and we walk with God and as we are led by the Spirit of God, that our lives will be separated unto him. And as we're separated unto him, you can almost guarantee that we're going to be separated from the world. But our goal and our object is not to see how far we can get away from the world. Our object and our goal is to see how close we can get to God. And as we get close to God, believe me, much of the world will get far away from us. There's some things I want you to think about this separation. You say, what do you mean he was separated? Well, look what it says here. I believe he was a consecrated man. He was a consecrated man. It's this word that you see here in verse number 9. It says, Noah was a just man and imperfect in his generations. You say, pastor, it means he never made a mistake. No, we know later on that he does make a mistake. We do know that all men are sinners, that all make mistakes. But this word perfect means that he was mature, means that he was upright. It carries the idea that Noah that not only did Noah claim a relationship with the Lord, but he lived out a relationship with the Lord. It's one thing to talk about being saved and loving the Lord. It's quite a different thing to actually live out what we claim every day. Let me just remind you that there are those that are watching you today, and would they say you were a person that was consecrated into your service for God? Remember, what you speak is not as loud as what you do. And unfortunately, who knows that best than our children and those that live with us? See, Noah was a successful father because he was separated, and Noah was a consecrated man. And also, not only was he consecrated, I believe he was a consistent man. He was consistent. Where do you see that at, Pastor? You continue at the end of verse number 9. It says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And we've talked about walking with God a few weeks ago with Enoch. We talked about walking with God means that you're agreeing with God. You can't be walking with God and living for yourself. You can't be walking with God and doing the things that the world says. Walking with God means that you're walking in step with God. This past Wednesday night, we looked in the book of Galatians chapter number 5. And we saw where the Bible says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. That means that if you're being led by the Holy Spirit of God, that means as God delivers and shows you what the next step is supposed to be, and as you're just walking it and you're walking it. You know, sometimes people want to know the answer miles down the road, but what God is saying, if you're going to walk with him, it just means doing what is supposed to be done for that next step. He shows you the light for the next step, and he shows you the light for the next step. He said, but I want to know what's going to happen years down the road. What he wants you to be faithful with is to just walk and walk with him, be led by the Spirit of God. And the Bible says that we also learn in that verse that if it talks about how if we walk with God, that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're walking with God and you're taking each step moment by moment and living for God each second and each step, you know what? You're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So many times people say, I can't get over this certain sin. I got this habit. I got this problem. And I wish I didn't get so angry. I wish I didn't have all these problems. I wish I could get rid of these thoughts. I wish I could stop listening to this. I wish I could stop looking at this. You know what? The Bible says it has the answer. So if you're walking in the Spirit, that means being led by the Spirit of God, walking with God, you're not going to give yourself a chance to fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that means if you have something you're struggling with, that means starting today by taking that step and saying, I'm going to walk with God. Because if you're walking with God, you're not going to fulfill those desires, because those desires are not what you're walking after. Instead, you're walking with the Lord. Now, not only was he a consecrated man, I think he was a consistent man, because you think about it, this man for over 120 years preached, and for many of those years he built this ark. He continued to be consistent with his walk with God. He was not hot and cold, up and down, in and out. He walked with the Lord day by day. Now I'm sure there's days that Noah might have slipped. There might have been days that Noah felt better. There might have been days where Noah just didn't do exactly what he should have, but he had this testimony, as Enoch had, that he walked with God. Is that your testimony today? Because if we're going to influence people for Jesus Christ, they're going to have to see us walking with God, and not just on Sundays. Anybody can look good on a Sunday. Anybody can act spiritual on a Sunday. Anybody can act like they're right with God in front of somebody for a few hours. But it's walking with God that made Noah's, that the way I believe that what made Noah's sons get into that ark. They watched Noah as he was consecrated to God. This was not just something that he did in front of people. This is something he lived at his house. This is not something that he just did for a week and then he gave it up and did something else another week. He was consistent. He also was concerned. No, not only was he consecrated and consistent, he was concerned. You say, what do you mean he was concerned? He was concerned about the souls of others. Yes, he preached for over 120 years. He witnessed in his conduct. In a world that was filled with wickedness, he lived a life of faith. He witnessed by his commitment, because he continued on and on, even though he did not see other converts. And he witnessed by his conduct, and this idea that he lived a life that nobody else was willing to live. In our lives today, are we witnessing and telling other people about Jesus Christ? Our lives should tell it on our own. But how many people would actually say that's a person that walks with God if they followed you around for a day, a week, a month, a year? I tell you, I've heard people give testimonies about their fathers. I tell you, the one testimony that spoke to my heart probably more than anything else, there was this guy I knew. This guy, his name was Paul Bromwell. This guy's probably about 6'2", 6'3", big guy, big strong guy. Funny thing, his wife is actually taller than he is. She's probably about 6'3", he's about 6'2", both nice people. His dad was the assistant pastor of the church that I was at for a little while. I was already out of the youth group, but he was a youth pastor this time. And this boy got up there, probably maybe 17 or 18 years old, and I think they were giving testimonies about their dads, and he said, "The only thing I can say about my dad is he is real." He says, "What you see at him at church, how he prays and how he tries to walk with God and how sincere he is, he's the exact same way at home." He says, "No matter what I do," he says, "he's always been the exact same." And you know what? That was a huge testimony. Yes, and you know, so many times people can say, "You know, my dad talked a good game, and for a good portion of his life, he'd try to do what was right." But this young man said, "My dad was faithful." Another one of our missionaries, named Cherith Otteson, she told me the testimony about her dad was, her dad was one of my Sunday school teachers growing up. He says, "I could not tell you how many mornings, every morning that I remember, I got up and I walked by and my dad was reading his Bible every single morning." And that's just a testimony. Now, both those men, I'm not saying there's anything special about either one, but I'm telling you that they made a difference in their children's life because they were consistent with their walk with God. I think that if either one of those men, God had told them to build an ark, and they would build that ark, I think they would have got on the ark with their dad, because in both their lives, it was sincere and real to them. I think too many times people are leaving churches today at a record rate because of the fact that their parents' walk with God wasn't what it was supposed to be. Third thing I want you to see is, not only was Noah saved, Noah was separated, Noah was successful. Noah was successful. Now, you say, "Pastor, you're being kind of hard on us. Even if I live for God, sometimes your kids walk away," and that is the truth. There's even Bible characters that from what we could tell, they lived for God and they served God with all their heart and with all their life, and sometimes their children did not follow the ways that they were. And that is true. It is a personal decision what your child is going to do. But Noah was successful because, I believe, number one, he was respected by his children. He won their respect. If you go back here in verse number 18, it talks about him God telling him to take his sons and their wives in the ark. But if you go to chapter 7, verse number 7, you see them doing what God had asked them to do. Now, it's a whole different thing when God tells the dad to do something and the dad gets up and says, "Okay, we're going to do this as a family." But sometimes the sons and the daughters might buck at that and might say, "Hey, I don't want to do that. I'm going to go do my own thing," and they might fight it. But in chapter 7, verse 7, we see that they respected their father, because in chapter 7, verse number 7, it says, "And Noah went in and his sons." It didn't say he had to drag his sons. It didn't say he had to tie them up and throw them in. It says his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. I think Noah was successful because he walked with God and because he witnessed to others. But the greatest achievement was that he won his own family. Noah's walk with the Lord was a real deal, and they respected him for it. Now, we can compare this to another father. We've talked often about Lot on Father's Day. Lot was a man who was, I believe, the Bible says, just. He believed in God, but of the wickedness he did and lived amongst in Sodom and Gomorrah. God sent angels, and angels told Lot, "Lot, get your children, get your families out of this town. God's going to destroy it." Lot goes and knocks on the doors of his sons-in-laws and tells them what God's angels had told him. You know what they did? They laughed at him. They died in Sodom and Gomorrah because they had no respect for their father-in-law and his walk with God. They said, "God told me this." And they're like, "What God do you serve? I've never seen you serve God." And they says that they laughed at him. They mocked him. And they died in Sodom and Gomorrah the next day because they did not respect their father-in-law. And that's a pretty serious thought. You got Noah, whose sons are willing to follow them in an ark. And you got Lot's son-in-laws that wouldn't even come with their father-in-law just for a day, just to see whether or not it's real. You know, some of us might say, "Oh, yeah, I'll go do that for a day, and when the city isn't destroyed, I'll go back." But no, they wouldn't even do that for them. Not only did he win their respect, he won their response. He won their response. You know, there are some people out there that actually respect their moms and dads, but sometimes they do not follow in the ways of their parents. But you see that they won their response. They followed Noah and the ark. Then when the rains fell and the rest of the world perished, they were saved. I would submit to you that the greatest accomplishments of the life of this great man was the fact that he was able to see his own children saved. This eclipsed everything else he did in his life. When all is said and done, the question is, will your children follow in your faith? I know it's a decision between purely between them and God, but I also know that they may base what they do on what they see in your own life. We can't make the decision for them, but we can determine in our hearts today that we will do everything in our power to see our family get in the ark or to follow in our faith. We can't make decisions for others, but we can live a life that shows and demonstrates to people that we believe and are sincere in our walk as we are consecrated, as we are consistent, and as we are concerned for others. We can win the respect of others, and as we win the respect of others, many times we can win the response of others too. Noah was a successful father. Why? I believe he was successful because he was saved, number one. We're never going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish unless we're rightly related to him. Secondly, it was because he was separated. You're never going to be able to fulfill what the Lord has for your life if you're walking in the lust of the flesh. Thirdly, it was because he was a successful man, because he won their respect and their response. I hope the testimony can be said of you. Even those that know you best and those that are around you all the time, he was sincere. He was real in their beliefs. He wasn't perfect, but he was a man who loved God, or a woman who loved God and walked with God. Well respected, and also won the response of many. Will people come to you when there is a great need in their life? They will come to those that they respect. They will care for those that made a difference. Talking to the men right now, fathers, that many of us, I know most of you might have children out of the house. But many fathers and men are not doing what God's called them to do. Stories told about a greeting card company that went inside the prison. And as they went inside the prison, they gave away free Mother's Day cards. And they said the lines were so long that they had to take hours and get more cards in order to just give away the Mother's Day cards so they could send them out. And then the next month later, it was such a great success, they said, we're going to do the same thing for Father's Day. And they said, not one person took a card. And they went and asked the inmates, and many of them didn't even know who their own father was. And many of them didn't respect their father enough to want to send them a Father's Day card. Man, that breaks our hearts. But as believers and as Christians, we can be led by the Spirit of God. We can walk with God. And yes, not everybody's going to stand up and cheer. Many people died in that flood. Only 8 were saved. And yes, it would have been a difficult thing to think I'm preaching for 120 years and only had the converts of my family. You know, you could get discouraged about it. Or you can say I was a great success because I was able to influence those that God gave me that was closest. And that's what we need to do. Try to influence those that God gives us the opportunity to influence. The rest of those people didn't have any interest. This morning, I'm not going to tell you you can change the world. I can tell you that God can change the world through you. But we can influence, with God's help, influence those that are close to us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.